About a month ago, my family had been planning to embark on a lengthy road trip to Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. As soon as school got out, I came home to our Chevy Traverse, chock full of suitcases, pillows, food, and pretty much anything you could imagine. The overall trip could have taken us a day or two at most to get to Cave City, but we made frequent overall stops that could have taken us a I had the opportunity to see many different parts of the country, and over a whole journey, the Mammoth Cave tour was the cherry on top. We arrived at the visitor center at 9 a.m., a little too early for my taste. We were told by the ranger that this was going to be a four-hour hike, 280 feet underground, with only a few lights and around 75 people. So 75 people from all around the country, and maybe even the world, packed into some rough and rickety school bus lookalikes. After about 10 minutes on the shaky, bumpy bus, we arrived at the cave entrance. After a brief orientation, we walked through two heavy steel-swinging doors and were plunged into darkness and stone. The first thing I saw was a staircase down, 670 stairs to be exact. And if I found that breathtaking, you can probably imagine how in awe I was when I shuffled into a low-lit, massive stone cavern. It took a while for my eyes to adjust, but when they did, I was speechless. About 100 of those poorly built buses could have fit in the cave. I wanted to stay, but because I didn't want to get lost in a solid stone room where I can't see and no one can hear me call for help, I moved on with the others. In the next few hours, my family and I witnessed 19th century graffiti, mineral water dripping from the ceiling, and gypsum crystal flowers blossoming from small holes in the walls. We squeezed through crevices of layered rock and climbed underground mountains. By the time my legs were getting sore from walking, the ranger stopped us all at what looked like a rest area, a narrow path of rock with thin metal benches along the sides. The ranger, named Eric, told us to sit down and be as quiet as possible. He said that he was going to turn out the lights and let us experience complete darkness. Up until that point, I had no idea what complete darkness was. I had never truly been in it. But this time, there were no cell phones, no camera flashes, no talking, no shuffling of feet, nothing. I thought I had seen it all until I was seeing absolutely nothing. Ranger Eric thrusted me into a dark void of nothing. I heard nothing. I saw nothing. Not even my hand in front of my face. And I felt something. Like this huge cave, the longest in the world, was, and it obviously was, bigger than me. Like most things, the everyday darkness blinds us from perceiving. Psalm chapter 139, verse 12, states that even the darkness is not to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Later, after reading those words, I realized that I had not been afraid of the complete darkness. Not at all. In fact, I had felt comfortable, and as if there were a bright sunny day. I think that some people are afraid of the dark because it removes some of their senses, and it is unfamiliar and makes them insecure. Like they haven't yet learned that they are safe in the gloom, that God is there with them, just like God was there with me and the rest of my cave tour. Mammoth Cave and my whole spring break adventure gave me an experience and a lesson that I'll carry with me for a very long time, that God is with you, even in darkness. And even when you feel as if you're blind, cramped, and suffocating, 280 feet underground, God is there with you, no matter what, anytime and anywhere.
The Broadway musical Wicked is one of my favorite musicals. And one of my favorite lyrics are, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. This is from the song For Good from Wicked, and I feel like I'm speaking to my friends because they have helped me become who I am today. Olivia, Alexa, and Connor, these are the names of my friends who will help me whenever they can, and I will help them whenever I can. I see God in them because of that trait. On my birthday, they went to my locker before I came to school and decorated it. When I got to school, they were around my locker with cards and cupcakes. It made my day knowing that they were there and cared for me. In one of the cards that I got, used some song lyrics from that musical, and this part struck me. It's great when we work in tandem. You're always the first to defy gravity. You'll always be with me like a handprint on my heart. This shows me that my friends really know me and care about me more than I thought. Throughout the day, they made sure that my day was the best day I could possibly have. Jesus served his disciples before he died to show that he cared about them and would be there after his time to ascend into heaven, just as my friends have shown me that they will always be there when I need them. My birthday ended up being pretty good after that. My mom surprised me with a cake at core, and my friends cared about me so much that they said I had to wear a pink birthday princess sash for the last 2 hours of the day. I still wonder why I agree to that. That's the price of having good friends. They can joke. My friends influence my faith because I know, just like my friends are always there for me, that God will always be there for me in both the good and bad times in life. To me, I see God in my friends. They are always there for me and care about me from the first time I met them to now. I wouldn't be who I am today without my friends, and I wouldn't be who I am today without God in my life. And that is where I see God.
Growing up, I always believed in God. I was baptized at the Presbyterian Church in Coldwater, and I basically went to church for only religious holidays. Over time, my relationship with God became more and more distant. This past fall, my best friend Nick came up to me in school and asked me if I wanted to go to Lucky Jack's with him with his youth group. I agreed, because what kid doesn't want to go to Lucky Jack's and play games? When I got there, I met Nick's youth group leaders. I had an instant connection with them because they were kind and they treated me with respect. This was very unexpected to me, and I saw what God had done in their lives, and I knew that's what I wanted in mine. That night, I knew that this group had something great to offer, and I decided I wanted to join. By the following Wednesday, I had fallen in love with CORE. I couldn't believe how much I'd learned about God in just one night. I had found my safe space, my place I could go to make me feel welcome and hang out with my friends. I've created new friends, gained new mentors, and at school, I encourage kids to become Christians and come and join our church. I have a whole new outlook on life now. I thank my dear friends and mentors, Jose, John, Brian, Tom, and Beth, who have been the main contributors in my growth. I see God in this church and the people who make it a place I would like to be.
Once I was pressed with the question of where and how I see God, I couldn't stop thinking about where I could have experienced such a thing. Because seeing and feeling God is not an easy thing. Simply because you can't feel his being or see him as a person. But that's when the concept of faith comes in, believing and trusting in something like our Lord, even when things are imperfect, or even when things are amazing. I could say I see God in simple things, like how he made the wind and sea, or things like my friends and my family. But for me, it's so much more than that. God can be a close friend, a father, and something anyone can talk to through prayer. But sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes we are tested. We are shown the hard side of life. We are shown the uncertainty. And we are most likely find ourselves asking why. Why would God do this to me? But we get through it. And what helps us to get through the hard days is hope. I see God through other people's and my own hope. I think our strength and our courage to trust there is a plan and there is a higher reason for the situation God puts us through, that's where I see God. In John 13:7, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." How I see this first is that even though what God is doing might not make sense or may not go along with your plan, it is his plan. And in the end, it will make sense because he is having these things happen to you for a reason. And that is why hope is shown to me as God or godly. I've always found other people's hope strengthening to me. I feel like I could live through it. God truly is everywhere, especially within ourselves. And I have found that once you come to terms with the idea of having faith, even in simple things like having faith in the people around us, to great things like having faith in God, that is when you'll experience God. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure of the heart, for they shall see God." So whether the situation is good or bad, if your heart is loving and pure, you will find yourself experiencing God in a way that will be significant to you. But how I see it is, sometimes the uncertainty of life is what makes you stronger. It's what gives you hope, the hope that I personally see God through. Thank you.